Well, I'm genuinely glad to be here today. I always love to come over here. Have for a long, long time. Even Judy was a little bitty girl. I used to bring her over here with her mother. And she's kind of like a second mother to me, Patty was. And I love the church here a whole lot. I love the country over here. It's pretty. Y'all don't know how pretty it really is. Since I live in Memphis, which is not all that pretty, I'm glad to be there. But it's really pretty over here, so I hope y'all appreciate that. I know you're in prayer, and I hope you continue to be so. And I've got my goal, of course, is to glorify God, number one. But also, you might be edified and built up in whatever you really need. And I hope it'll be lasting. I do hope and pray to God we'll be entertained. When I say entertained, not in a worldly way, but entertained just so our hearts are made to rejoice and we enjoy what we're doing. But I also pray that the Word of God may have a lasting effect on us. And I believe God gave me a subject. I really had two sermons, but so I'm going to preach both of them. But don't get too nervous, because I think they're going to kind of meld together. I like it sometimes when I can't sleep. Sometimes I don't like it when I can't sleep. But sometimes when God's working with me, I like it when I can't sleep. So one night, he began to work on me, and I think laid this sermon on my heart. So I already had one of them kind of planned, and this other kind of confused me. Then the Lord showed me how I think they're meld together. So be in prayer. And the subject is, fellowshipping God through His Word. Fellowshipping God through His Word. I want to make a statement. The most important thing you can ever do in life is to fellowship God. That's the most important thing, is to be in fellowship with God. So I want to read you about that over in a couple of places. We need to be in fellowship with God. And we can be because of what He's done for us. We know if we're a child of God, we do have a relationship with God. But we don't only need relationship, we need fellowship, warm fellowship with God. We have a lot of distractions that keep us from that. The devil, well, we got three main distractions you already heard of. The devil doesn't want us to have fellowship with God, for sure enough. And the world doesn't want us to have fellowship with God. And our own sinful nature doesn't want to have fellowship with God. That's just the way it goes. So there's lots of distractions, but we can have fellowship with God. And to give you an idea of the distractions of this world, I thought a whole lot about a text over in Matthew 24:12, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And we know iniquity is abounding now. That's in Matthew 24:12. Iniquity is abounding, so we don't be careful, our love for God will wax cold. We ought to work hard at and make a priority of it and cherish fellowship with God. We got so many distractions now. One of them that bothers me is YouTube, to be honest with you. I'm not on any of this other social media. I'm not even on Facebook. I accidentally got on Facebook the other day, an accident. And I got off as quick as I could. I got about 30 people want to be my friends. I don't want to be everybody's friend, but I just don't have time for that right now, so I got off of it. But YouTube is a distraction. I mean, I'm just going to confess it to you. What I'll do sometimes is if I get a little bit bored, I'll get in there and start looking at stuff like the Ukraine War or World War II or something like that. Before you know it, I wasted all kind of time. So I'm not saying you can't do some of that. But you well know there's lots of things that distract us from fellowship with God. You know that. So I'm going to read you 1 John chapter 1 to show you how important fellowship with God is. I'm going to talk about this just for a short time, then get on what I call my second sermon, which I think will be fit in with this one here. I think it'll just be one sermon. Look in 1 John, and John assumes here that he's speaking to children of God. So I'm assuming that this morning. He's assuming that. And this is really a book of heavy fellowship with God. 1 John is great. But I'm just going to read chapter 1 to get the essence of this. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled on the word of life. That's an amazing text. This whole wonderful chapter is great. The incarnate God, Jesus Christ. And for the life was manifest, we have seen it and bear witness and shown to you that eternal life, which was with your Father and was with and was manifested unto us. Now look at his motive in doing this, is manifesting, telling about his experience with Jesus Christ, knowing that he was a God-man and that he had had fellowship with him. And this is why John wanted to write to us this morning. That which we have heard, which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Why? You may have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father his son Jesus Christ. So let me read that verse again. Why are you writing to us, John? That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, his son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And our joy will be full if we have fellowship with Jesus Christ, no matter what we're going through. A lot of y'all have had some real hard times. We all have hard times. You know that in a way. If you live long enough, you'll have some hard times. You know that? You kids need to remember that. Some of you kids already gone through hard times. This is a low ground of standing sorrow. That's what the old preacher used to say. Marvin remembers that probably. The old guy used to say this is a low, and it's a low ground of standing sorrow. But we're not supposed to be pessimistic. God got us here on a mission. We're to let our light so shine before men, they may see our good works, glorify our Father which is in heaven. That's our mission here on this world. So we ought to do that. And these things write unto you, your joy may be full. Then the key verse of 1 John is verse 5. This is the key verse in 1 John. This then is the message which we have heard of him, declaring to you that God is light, and him is no darkness at all. That's an amazing verse. In the Greek, it's even stronger than it is here in the English, but I'm a King James man. But this is a very, very strong verse in Greek. It's all about John shouting, I'm telling you, not one bit of darkness in Jesus Christ. Not one lick. Not one speck of darkness in Jesus Christ. Let me read that verse again. This then is the message which we have heard of him in declaring to you that God is light, and him is no darkness. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, do not the truth. We can't have fellowship with God if we're walking in darkness. But I love verse 7. This is a very encouraging verse. If we walk in the light, that means we be obedient to him as far as we possibly can. We know we're sinners and we'll not be perfect. If we walk in the light, he's in the light. We have fellowship one with another. He means with him. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. What are you talking about there? Let me read that verse again and then comment on it. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Well, I thought he had already cleansed me. And he has. Here's what he means is, even though God's children have been cleansed of their sins, they still need to have what I'm going to call practical cleansing. Your conscience gets defiled sometimes. You know that. Your conscience gets defiled. You mess up, you do something wrong, or you say something wrong, or you think something wrong, or there's something you should have done you don't do, and it messes your conscience up, and you feel kind of paralyzed, and we need to have a fresh cleansing of our conscience. And I'm glad God does that. God will tell us, sometimes we get so discouraged, we think we can't keep on going. We've messed up so badly. But my friend, God, by his precious blood, I'm going to call it a fresh application. Now, I don't know whether it's theologically correct or not, that's what I'm going to say it. It's a fresh application of his blood. We feel like trucking. We feel like traveling on. We feel like, I've been preaching a long time, man. I've been living a long time. I tell you, there's been many, many times I thought, man, I can't keep on going. I'll mess up so bad this time. And God cleanses me again in my conscience, and I feel like going on. I feel like going on. So I love that verse. You remember that verse. If we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and we do deceive ourselves. We don't know we don't really know how bad we are. The bad news is we're worse than we think we are. The good news is God's better than we think he is. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. Then one of my first favorite verses, every Christian that's been around very long, this is one of their favorite verses. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a verse that is. That's a great verse. If we confess our sins, and he means a really mean business with God, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we're not sinned, make him a liar. His word is not in us. So what I'm saying is our number one priority in life should be having fellowship with God. But we're going to have fellowship with God. We've got to walk in the light, and he's in the light. And it's mainly going to be in his word, as I mentioned. That's going to be the second part of my sermon. Now let's go over to one more text to show the urgency of having fellowship with God. The urgency. The priority we ought to place. The priority we ought to place when having fellowship. And over in the Philippian letter. And Paul talks about a lot of his accomplishments here in the chapter 3. Lots of accomplishments. But then he says this in verse 7. I'm going to start reading verse 7, chapter 3. Having fellowship with God was a great priority for the Apostle Paul. It should be I hope it'll be a priority with you today, even more than it ever has been, after you hear this sermon. I hope it'll have a lasting effect. just say, I want to make that a priority to have fellowship with God. It's going to take some time, some effort. I can't do it on my own, but I want to have fellowship with God. There's nothing like having fellowship with God. That's what makes life worth living. Money won't do it. Prestige won't do it. Educational degrees won't do it. Not really. I'm glad that those things give us some satisfaction in life. They should. But I'll tell you, my friend, the only thing that's really going to give you satisfaction in life and also on your dying hour, living grace and dying grace, is having fellowship with God. We can have fellowship with God. It's an amazing thing we can, isn't it? We being sinners, and Christ has made it where we can have fellowship with Him. Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. Isn't that amazing? Get close to God Almighty, the one who's on the throne. We can have fellowship with Him. After I read this, I've got a verse that just came to my mind. I'll turn to it in a minute, okay? To show you this wonderful privilege of having fellowship with God. But look at the urgency Paul had to have fellowship with God. Starting verse 7, chapter 3. But what things were gained to me, all these accomplishments that he had, those I counted loss for Christ. Look, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of all things, to count them but dung that I may win Christ. Be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, that through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now look at verse 10. Notice the urgency of this cry, the poignancy here, the passion, that I may know him. That's having fellowship with God. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings be made conformable unto his death. Now, Paul, you already know God. He knew him better than I know him, no doubt. But he was not satisfied. This is near the end of Paul's life. That I may know him. Know him better. Be more acquainted with him. That I may know him. Isn't that glorious? And I'll read the rest of that verse. That I may know him, the fellowship of his sufferings, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, be made conformable unto his death. So those two texts I want to read and show you the urgency of having fellowship with God. I hope your appetite is whetted. Let me read that verse that I just came to my mind. Over to Isaiah 57, 15. I'm afraid I won't quote it right, so I'm going to turn to it. I'm trying to memorize this verse. But I want to read it. Listen, it's unbelievable to have fellowship with God. This is Isaiah 57. I'm going to read verse 15. I'm going to take my time reading it because it's such a majestic verse. This is a majestic verse. I'm going to read the first part two or three times. Then I'm going to finish it, okay? Isaiah 57, 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. How about that for a clause? How about that for a majestic clause? For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. One more time. That ought to grab us, brother friend. We have no idea of the majesty of God Almighty. He dwells in the light, which no man can approach him to, who no man has seen or can see, to be honor and power everlasting. Amen. 1 Timothy 6:16, I think it is. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Let's finish it. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Isn't that an amazing verse? This high and lofty one has fellowship with people like you and me who have contrite and broken hearts. That word contrite is strong. It means crushed. Sometimes we're just crushed. And we ought to be crushed when we have a sense of guilt. But my friend, we can run to him and receive relief. Isn't that glorious? It's just absolutely glorious. Now, the second part of my sermon, which I hope is going to tie in with this. Fellowshipping with God through his word. We got to be in this book. I kid to take the Great Chapel. I'm kind of getting blind here a little bit, so I got this big, large print Bible. I said, I'm more spiritual than y'all are. I got a bigger Bible. It's not really true. I'm telling you, friends, we got to have fellowship with God through his word. You got to be in his word. Not just a hit and a miss. You got to develop some habits of being his holy word every day. listening to sermons, reading the Bible, meditating. There's no substitute for it. I'm going to read you a statement that John Newton wrote when you're reading your Bible. This was George Mueller. You remember George Mueller? He was a great prayer warrior. He was actually a German, but he had orphanages in England. And if you've read his journals, they're amazing. He wanted to prove we have a prayer hearing, prayer answering God. So what he did, he had some orphanages. He kept journals. He was a real meticulous individual. He kept journals for years and years and years. This was fact, not speculation. He wanted to write down times he prayed for God to supply the needs of those orphans and then write in when God did supply those needs. And he had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of entries. Sometimes it's absolutely amazing. One time they were without any bread. He got to praying, and a bread wagon broke down right before the orphanage, and they fed them with bread. Stuff like that happened all the time. You know what? If our economy goes up, belly up, we may start to learn how to live that way better. You get your daily bread from God, you know that? You don't really think you do. When we say, God, give us this day our daily bread, we don't really mean that. Heck, I got a freezer full of food. I got a grocery store full of food. God provided that, and I'm not running you down. But I'll tell you, the day may come, we'll really mean it. We say, give us this day our daily bread. But let me show you how George Mueller read his Bible. In his entry on May the 7th, 1841, George Mueller took some time to explain his habit of prayer and scripture reading, which proved to such great help that he felt it necessary to share with others. So here's what Mueller says. It has recently please the Lord to teach me a truth the benefit of which I have not lost, though now, while preparing the fifth edition of this book for the press, more than 14 years have since passed. So in other words, he's tried what he's saying here for 14 years. He's really testing this out. The point is this. And here's his point. I saw more clearly than ever that the first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day was, what's the most important thing now, George? Let me read that again. He learned this after trial and error. The first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day was to have my soul happy in the Lord. I believe that. That sounds selfish, but it's not selfish. I'm going to keep reading here now. What's George saying? The first business that I'll do every day is to get my soul happy in the Lord. In other words, to have fellowship with God. And by the way, you know what Nehemiah said? The joy of the Lord is your strength. If I get up and start trying to do things without having the joy of the Lord, I probably won't get much done. I'm doing my own strength. But if I can get happy in the Lord, that's the first thing we ought to be doing. It sounds selfish, but it's not selfish. It glorifies God. Now let me keep reading to you. The first thing to be concerned about was not how much I might serve the Lord, how I might glorify the Lord. Those were very important. He wanted to do that. But how I might get my soul into a happy state and how my inner man might be nourished. For I might seek to set the truth before the unconverted. I might seek to benefit believers. I might seek to relieve the distressed. I might seek other things to behave myself as I ought to. But he said, but I can't do any of that unless I'm happy in the Lord. And he's right about that. So here's what he would do when he read the Bible. I'll just paraphrase the rest of it. So George, what do you do? He said, well, the first thing to do was get up and start trying to pray. And he was a prayer warrior. He'd get up early in the morning and pray. In fact, the one kind of a humorous thing that Judy and I, she gets tickled every now and then. George Mueller would get up every morning real early to pray. So one young man said, Mr. Mueller, I want you to pray for me. I'm having a hard time getting up. I want you to pray for me that I'll be able to get out of bed and pray. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do, young man. If you get that left leg out, I'll pray you get the right leg out. What he's saying is, you get out of bed and start praying. You know, quit money grubbing around. What he's saying. He's quite a guy. But then here's what he said. I used to get up and start trying to pray. He said, now what I do, I get the Word of God out. Now, my sermon, remember this? It's fellowshipping God through His Word. That's my sermon, through His Word. So Mueller said, I start reading my Bible first. I read it meditatively. And he said, when I come to a passage that rebukes me, I'll immediately repent. If I come to a promise, I'll immediately begin to plead that promise. He said, invariably, in about 15 minutes, he said, most of the time, I find my heart getting happy in the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? You try that and see if it works. And I believe Mueller's right. Remember, if you don't remember anything else that Brother Zach said this week, remember I said, I believe Jordan Mueller's right. He said, the number one thing we ought to do every day is get our heart happy in the Lord. We've had to get up a little early to do it. Do it. Our day will go better because we're having fellowship with God Almighty, having Him walking side by side with us in a conscious and wonderful way. All right. Now, I'm going to tell you some of my own experiences. I've got something else I'm going to read that another man wrote in a minute. But I want to tell you some of my experiences. I'm 81 years old. It's kind of fun to be able to tell experiences now. Let me give you two texts. This is what my sermon was going to, number one, was going to be. Two texts out of Psalm 119. All right? And I'm going to put these together and tell you some experiences I had with this. And I want to have more experiences before I die. Hope the next time I preach this sermon, I have fresh things to tell. That's what I'm hoping. And you ought to be having some things, my friend. You experience with God Almighty. As you are in His Word. And you're applying to your soul by the Holy Spirit. Here's my text. Psalm 119:18 says, open thou my, Psalm 119, verse 18. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. My friend, there's wondrous things in this Bible right here. They're there all the time. But sometimes we can't see them like we ought to. We ought to be praying, Lord, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. That's a great verse. Now, also look at verse 50. That's Psalm 119 again, the longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses. All that based on God's Word, that's how important God's Word is. God thought the longest chapter of the Bible should be concerned, every verse got something to say about His Word. This is my comfort in my affliction. Thy Word hath quickened me. That word quickened means revived me. Now get this. This is my comfort in my affliction. Thy Word hath quickened me. Brothers and sisters, He's saying, thy word has revived me. Now I'm going to tell you some personal experiences. You ready? Put your seatbelts on. Put your seatbelts on. I've had some personal experiences with this. I want to share them with you. And I hope I encourage you. You'll be begging God, give me, Lord, personal experiences. You've already got a bunch of them. You know, it would be kind of fun to do sometime. You might want to do this here, Andrew. We've done it at Grace Chapel. It's been a long time. We'd have testimonial meetings. You remember some old channel a long time ago? People, let's just have a meeting, and let's sing a few songs, have a few prayers. Then tell me what the Lord had done for your soul. And I had to, you know, God worked with all of you as you're born again. We're all, my friend, monuments of grace. And it does me good to hear God people tell about what God had done for their soul. We got to do that great job again pretty soon. I remember people like Bibby Braddock talking about what God had done for her soul, how He had led her and other people like that. We need to tell experiences. All right. Let me tell you the first one about me. One time I was in India. I've been to India 17 times by God's grace. I wanted to go again this summer and I got real bad sick and couldn't go. So on this particular occasion, I'm riding in a Jeep with Brother Gunnar. This is a real life experience. And suddenly, I think it must be the devil assaulted me. I felt all my sins at once. I cannot describe to you how I felt. It's almost like a physical burden has sat down and just crushing me in my seat. That's how strong it was. I saw my sins, what a sorry individual I was, how all the things I should have done I hadn't done, and all the things I did do I should have done, that I shouldn't have done, and I just was paralyzed. I said, I can't preach anymore. What am I going to do? I'm going to go home. And guess what happened? Guess what happened? I'm telling you the true story. My friend, the Holy Ghost, brought a verse to my mind that gave me instant relief. I didn't even know it was in the Bible. It's over Psalm 130. I'm going to read it to you. I found it later. Now here I am paralyzed by guilt and just miserable. And God, the Holy Ghost, brought it. I wasn't reading my Bible. I was just sitting in that car and the Holy Ghost brought to my mind, if thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? And my men, that relieved me instantly. Instantly. That's not exactly the wording. I just thought, if that's your mark of iniquity, who should stand there? What the Lord brought to my mind. And then that next verse is, there's forgiveness for thee that thou mayest be feared. I won't get on that. I would like to. But my friend, listen, that God did that. I got my hand on the King James Bible. I'm not lying to you. My friend, God gave me into relief. The Holy Ghost came and worked your mind and changed your whole day, changed your whole perspective. We ought to be begging Him to do so. I'm telling you also, if we really believe this, and I'm going to read you some more verses, if we come to church, we need to listen better. God's speaking to us through His Word. Sometimes He may be speaking to us in a custom-made way. We may miss it because we're careless here. You may have some kind of a problem in life. God may address that problem in that great storm, my friend. He's done it to me, as I tell you about that. Okay, let me tell you the other time I had. These are different kinds of experiences. I was in Clinton, Kentucky. Judy and I were used by God Almighty to start a church up there in the 70s. That's the only time I ever left Memphis for 3 years when we were at Clinton, Kentucky. Kendall visited me up there when he was a kid. I think he and David would like to burn the place down one time in a garbage can they started out, but that's another story. Anyway, I'm in Clinton, Kentucky, and I'm out of fellowship with God. You ever get out of fellowship with God? I have to tell you how many times I've been out of fellowship with God. But I have been. I was miserable. Judy had come back to Memphis to visit her parents. She came to Memphis to visit her parents. I was just miserable. I couldn't sleep. Shoes. I was just miserable. So I'm there in bed by myself. That house up there on Highway 703, old country house, big old two-story white house. I remember very well. And I'm just miserable. I don't know what in the world I'm going to do. And guess what happened? The Holy Ghost brought a scripture to my mind, my friend. I'm going to tell you what it was in a minute, but you know what I did? When this came to my mind, I jumped out of bed and I hit that floor. I still remember that I had some cheap linoleum floor. And it's cold. I remember it hit my knees, how cold it was. By the time I got up, my friend, off that floor, my life had been changed. I bounced back in fellowship with God through His Word. Let me read it to you what God gave me. It's over in Hebrews chapter 4. Literal happening. Now, God was speaking to me in my heart, just like He did. And Brother Gunner's Jeep, he spoke to me up there on that house on Highway 703 in Clinton, Kentucky, out in the country. Okay, I'll read verse 14 all the way down through 16 here. This is Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but with all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I said, Lord, here I come. I need mercy, God. I need grace. He said, you come on. It's an invitation. Let's come boldly. That means pour it all out before God. That's a strong word. Don't hold anything back. Let's come boldly to the throne of grace, we may obtain mercy and find grace. And I found mercy. I found grace in time of need. The ice was broken. The sin chain had been broken. I'm back in fellowship with God. Isn't that wonderful? It can happen to you, and it has happened to you probably lots of times. Grab a hold of that stuff like that, friends. All right, now let me tell you another one. This is when God really spoke to me. And He gave me a direction. See, God can relieve you, like I've mentioned these two times, but God can also give you direction. Let me tell you the story behind this. I love Grace Chapel Church, where I'm pastor right now. We got started in 1969. And guess who started that church? God used Bobby Poe to start that church. But Bobby Poe has been a great man of God, Kendall. Some of these days I'm going to write something about him. I've written him some letters and telling him how much I appreciate his ministry. He's a very quiet man. He's been greatly used of God. He wanted to help start a church in East Memphis. Patty McAvoy was kind of his buddy because Patty wanted one real bad too in East Memphis. So Brother Bobby wanted to start a church in East Memphis. And so he said, Brother Zach, you come help me. And I didn't want to help him. I didn't mind helping him. But I was happy where I was. I remember White Haven Primitive Baptist Church. And at that time, we had a great big church, full of people. I mean, the Holy Ghost was right there with us. We had Brother Hassel Wallace was our pastor. We were having powerful services. I didn't want to leave there. No, sirree. I was happy where I was. But as I said, I'll pray about it. I did pray about it. Now, I got about the prayer. So I went down to Pine Hill Primitive Baptist Church, where they were having a guy named Avery Land was holding a meeting. Avery Land was an interesting man. He's what I call a shotgun preacher, but he is a good shotgun preacher. You know, shotgun preacher, he preaches all the Bible. Doesn't take a text. Avery was a good shotgun preacher. He was better than average. But this time, he took a text. I walked in Pine Hill, and Randy, he quoted a text, and I had never even used it in the Bible. I almost left the church that night and said, I don't need to hear anymore. God's spoken to me. Should I go help Brother Bobby or not? That's how plain it was. Let me read it to you, see if you can see what God did. He quoted Romans chapter 15, verse 20. Romans 15, 20. Paul speaking here. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build of another man's foundation. I'll read that again. That sunk in my soul. I was shocked. I didn't even know it was in the Bible. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. My friend, I just like God spoke with me. Marvin, I'm telling you, I said, Brother Bobby, I'm ready to go. I was ready to go, and I helped him. Isn't that glorious? God can give you answers from His Word in a custom-made way. Often, probably, is doing it. We may not be listening like we should be. So you got some problems, you need some direction. Say, God, help me listen real good today. Maybe He didn't intend for me to get that out of that. He had something else in mind. That's what I got out of it. All right? Now, I had another case like that where God gave me direction. All right? I'd been to India, and now it's time to go again, we thought. Jeff Harris and I were going to go to India. And this is then. So here's what happened. Donna is Jeff's wife. So Donna and Jeff and Judy and me were going to plan our trip out. So Judy and I flew to Atlanta. And Jeff picked me up in his pickup truck, going to his house down in Tipton, Georgia, to plan this trip out. And guess what happened? Jeff had a cell phone. His daughter said, Daddy, turn your radio on. You need to see what's going on. That's when they had the 911, the World Trade Towers. That terrorist, I remember that. We get out of his house, they had it on TV, and I was supposed to fly back to Memphis and be in David, then drive to Tyler, Texas, to be in David McAvella's ordination. But you know what happened? They grounded all the planes. What, a week or two? I don't know how long they grounded them. They grounded all the planes. I couldn't even get back to the ordination. So what I did, it's amazing how God worked that out. Jeff took me a certain distance, and then Jeremy Fulmer picked me up, took me somewhere else, and I didn't finally pick me up. We finally got over to Tyler to the ordination. But everything was grounded. Well, people saying, well, you can't go to India. We might have war. We thought we might have war. Finally, we did wind up having war. And so I didn't know what to do. Some people said, well, you've got to go. You're a coward. Some people said, no, don't be a fool. Don't tempt God. So I didn't know what to do. I wanted to do what's right. God, should I go to India or not? Well, it's amazing, friend. I'm telling you some true stories now. Now this time, after trying to pray about all that, not having an answer yet, I go to church at Flint River, Trinity Baptist Church in Huntsville, Alabama. And David Powell is preaching. And David and I spent the night at the same place and stayed up too late, like preachers always do. I was so sleepy when he was preaching, I just had to pinch my leg. I'll tell you, if you pinch your leg right in here, give y'all a hint, you can wake you up. So I did that a few times, trying to stay awake. That's how sleepy I was. And all of a sudden, David Powell read a text. It wasn't even on his subject. And God spoke to me, and I went to India. Let me read you the text. I'm not kidding you about this. This is true stuff. This is precious memory to my soul. See, God spoke to me. I don't know. We went to the bottom of the trip, by the way. Had a great trip. The airport was deserted. Even the Atlanta airport was deserted. I don't know how they even flew the planes because I could lay across four or five seats and how infected the planes were. Nobody was flying, but we flew. Because God gave me assurance. Here's what David spoke this text from Acts chapter 18, verse 9 and 10. I think it's 10. Anyway, 9. Let's read that. Here I am now. I'm praying. I forgot about the prayer at that particular time, and God spoke to me clearly. Clearly. So hear what David read. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by vision. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. I have much people in this city. And I began to cry. I said, I'm going to India. God said, told me in that, Marvin, that nobody's going to hurt you. I've got a lot of people in the city. You need to be going. And brother, sister, I went. God spoke to me. He can speak to you also. All right, let me tell you a few more times, and then I'm going to get into some other people besides me. I'm not trying to pin any, I'm not pinning any flag on myself. I'm telling you, I'm an ignoramus, but God just spoke to me. He got to speak clearly to me. I'm kind of a slow learner. Okay, another time I had a fellowship with God. Oh, Brother Zach, quit saying that. Well, I can't quit saying it. I'm sorry. God knows me. I've been out of fellowship with God a lot of times. I got out of fellowship with God. This is before I got married. And I don't know. I just wasn't doing right or something. And so I'm washing dishes. That's really unusual. I didn't hardly wash dishes ever when I was a bachelor. It's just a disgrace, really. I didn't even wash clothes much. But I bought a whole lot of underwear because I didn't want to wash it. So I had underwear for 10 years. But anyway, I'm washing dishes, and I'm feeling just absolutely miserable. And guess what? Suddenly, it came to me. Memorize the Roman letter. And you know what? Just that thought. I got my Bible, that began to memorize Romans, and my life had turned around. Now, I didn't memorize the whole letter. I memorized chapter 1, chapter 8, and a few more verses. But just somehow or other, when you're doing badly, sometimes God will get you just get on the right track. Do something right. And it'll break the ice. So I did. I got that Bible out right there, put it by the sink, and began to memorize Romans 1. And it turned my life around. What did it? The Word of God. I tell you, my text is having fellowship with God through His Word. All right. Now I'm going to tell you some others. Not me this time. Other guys. Ready? You too, my friend. You got to have your appetite whetted that you seek God fellowship through the Word of God. And I know if we have an experience meeting, we can probably tell things about this. I want to tell you about Bobby Poe. I already mentioned Brother Bobby. Now, see, one of my texts was, if you remember, from Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I got to say that again. Open thou mine eyes, God, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. One time, Brother Bobby Poe is preaching at Grace Chapel. I'll never forget this, long as I got a sound mind. He's preaching at Grace Chapel. He's preaching on regeneration, the wonderful, glorious doctrine of Holy Spirit regeneration. The primitive Baptists preach and all to preach. The God Almighty by the Holy Ghost is what does the regenerating. And Bobby's preaching about that. He's over in Ephesians. Let's look at the text. He's over in Ephesians. And I'll read verse 18 and 19 and maybe a few more. Let's look at this. It's talking about regeneration. The new birth. Look at verse 18. This is Ephesians 1, 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Now, specifically, verse 19 talks about regeneration. What is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, He raised Him from the dead, set Him in His own right hand in the heavenly places, for above all principality and power, might and dominion, so on all that. Well, you know what that verse is saying? You know what it's saying? His heart is saying, do you love the Lord? If you love the Lord, you know how you love Him? He first loved you. If you love Him, not only did He love you before the world began, He caused you to be regenerated by His Holy Ghost, or you wouldn't love Him. You know what kind of power that took? Now, this is a mind blower. If it wasn't the Bible, I wouldn't believe it. It took the same power to make you a believer as it did to get Jesus Christ out of the grave. That's what that verse is saying. Read it again. See, we can say ho-hum if we want to. We've heard grace all of our life. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. And beg God to open us up, we can really see it. My friend Zach Guest stand before you, and one who loves Jesus Christ, I love Jesus Christ because He first loved me. And the Holy Ghost regenerated me, and it took the same power for the Holy Ghost to regenerate me as it did to get Jesus Christ out of the grave. Well, Bobby began to preach that text there, which he preached many times on that subject, and guess what happened? A sacred moment, he got overwhelmed when he realized what he preached. He got overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. He choked up. He went down at Grace Chapel, right? We got a seat right there. He sat in that front seat right there. He just sat there and began to weep. And Stephen, he tried it again. He climbed back in the pulpit, and the same thing happened. He couldn't preach it. What had happened? God had opened His eyes to a wondrous thing out of His law. Brethren, all the doctrine of that glorious. We can talk about resurrection. We can kind of say, hold on. I'm not accusing you of that. You know what I mean. We're all sinners. But my friend, every time we come to church, it's shouting ground. We hear the Bible read, it'll be shouting ground. I'm not being unrealistic. It won't be. I know that. But we ought to ask God to give us more of His insight to His holy word. Learn to love words like redemption. I can roll it under my tongue. Redemption. Remission of sin. Propitiation. These glorious words that are not just words. They're not just theories. They're truths. Incarnation. Jesus Christ becoming a God, the God-man, all that. Isn't that great? So pray, God, open our eyes. We may behold wondrous things out of His law. Now I'll read you two more scriptures I had. And these are really just enjoyment of the Bible. Now, you know, you've heard a lot of sermons in your life, haven't you? I've heard a bunch of them. I don't remember a lot of them either. But, you know, that's okay. Not really okay in a way, but it's okay in a way. What did you eat last Tuesday? Thomas, he probably can't tell me what he ate last Tuesday. Probably real good. He got a good cook for a wife, I'm sure of that. He can't tell you what he ate, probably. But he's alive. And he wouldn't be alive if he hadn't eaten a lot of, you know, two or three meals a day for a long time. But he didn't remember a whole lot of them. Now, I remember one. I'll tell you about one I remember right now. It's real rich. My little granddaughter, Sophie, took me and Judy and her mom and daddy out to Texas de Brazil. I remember that. Have you ever been to Texas de Brazil? Well, it's unlimited meat. They come around your table, and you get this little green coaster, and you get you some sirloin steak, you get you a filet mignon, you get you some chicken breast, you name it. So I remember that meal. But I don't remember most of them. Anybody got a great cook for a wife. But there have been times in my life when God Almighty had given me a sermon that I just remember for years and years and years. Isn't that great? And that's good to do that. And God will do you that way sometimes. So I'll tell you a couple of ones. When I was a kid, I don't remember how old I was. We went to church. Sometimes we only met twice a week, month in those days at Mark Moore. But we always go to church every Sunday. Mom and Dad want to go to church every Sunday. So one place we went was Indian Creek Church at Brighton, Tennessee, which is north of Memphis. We'd go up there on the fourth Sunday sometime when we didn't have church. And so I'm up there one time, and this whole, and I remember this. Listen, I've been married 53 years, so heck, this before I got married, it's been a long time ago, so I still remember this. I'm glad you gave me a few good memories like this. You probably got some right now going through your mind, maybe. So old brother W.G. Johnson from Jackson, Tennessee. He wasn't really a powerful preacher. He's a dear old brother. Now old brother Johnson got up and read a text. Now here I am, a teenage boy, just trucking along as normal, not expecting anything unusual. And the brother Johnson read a text. I began to weep. God warmed my heart. I'm going to read it to you. It's Isaiah chapter 32, verse 1 and 2. I knew this was my Savior. Never read this text before, probably. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. A prince shall rule in judgment. A man shall be his own hiding place from the wind, a cover from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. I knew it was Jesus Christ. I preached on that since then and really enjoyed it. But my brother, isn't that amazing? I don't remember the thousand sermons I've heard. I remember that one, though, very much. And then another one I remember, there's another guy named Gary Beyer. He got one arm. Kind of like that brother at Manfield. Old Gary had an accident in some plant, and he got one arm. And he's not really an able preacher. I hate to say, I'm not trying to run anybody down. He's a good man. But he's not really what you call a real able preacher. But I'll tell you what, he sure got it on me. I remember him, but I don't remember some of the able guys. And what all he did was take a text. I'm going to read you the whole text. It's just a short one. I didn't know this was in the Bible. See, the Holy Ghost was there. That's the difference. The Holy Ghost was there. The Holy Ghost was there. Applying Word of God in my heart. How we ought to pray all the time. Lord, be with us with the Holy Spirit that the Bible may be real to us. So Gary read this text. It's Isaiah 12. It's just like a psalm. It's only six verses. But I just almost started shouting. He read it. Here we go. You'll love this. Here's somebody who's been out of fellowship with God. He got back in fellowship and he's enthused about that. Now, we all that way, aren't we? I may get out of fellowship with God. He blesses me with renewed fellowship with Him, and I'm just happy as I can be. That's where this Isaiah 12. I'll read you the six verses. And in that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And that day shall you say, Praise the Lord! Call upon His name. Declare His doings among the people. Make mention of that His name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. That's been one of my favorite passages of Scripture ever since then. I read Isaiah a lot of times. That never had really stood out to me like that, but it did that time. And I'll give you one more. And Kendall knows about this. My father-in-law had a great father-in-law, Tony McAvell. He loved old Baptist. Tony, it's an amazing story on Tony McAvell. He was born in Spain. I just love to hear how God works in people's lives. He was born in Spain. Raised a Roman Catholic. Devout Roman Catholic. Came to the United States when he was a little boy. His daddy came here. He's an excellent machinist. And he came to New York City. Got a job. Tony's mama died when he was real young. He said to the devout Catholic, he'd burn candles for her. Spent all of his money. He burned candles until she wouldn't have so bad in purgatory. That's how devout he was. Somehow or another, he got out of that. He was in the Air Force, and he was a mechanic on a B-17. Not in combat, but on a B-17. But he got his eyes opened up to that the Catholicism was not right. Now he began to search and search and search. This is a good story now. This is God of Providence. And Patty McAvell, my mama-in-law, who was raised around here, that's one reason I could come here. She was raised around here. She's a good old Arkansas girl. Well, her sister, LaRuth, and Ben Jay, her husband, they moved to Houston. And Patty wanted to kind of leave home and do something. So she goes to Houston. She gets a job at a watchmaker school. And guess what? I mean, as a secretary. Well, Tony was on the GI Bill for being in the Air Force. He gets to go to watchmaker school. That's where they met. Isn't that amazing? I can tell you a lot more on that, but I won't. It's an amazing story how they got together. The first time he met the old Badgers was somewhere down here. I think it's out here where they call West of Paris. He said the church out of West of Paris. They had an association out there. Now, this is a Yankee, a New York Yankee, and coming to Arkansas. He said the first time he got around the old Badgers, well, it's the nicest people I've ever met, but they're about half crazy. Well, he's probably right about that. But anyway, he fell in love, my friend, with the Church of Jesus Christ. What he would do, he'd go down his lunch hour. He worked as a jeweler and a watch repairman down with Dreyfus Jewelers downtown. He'd take his lunch hour and go down to the public library, get out books like the Chef Herzog, Encyclopedia of Religious Knowledge, stuff like that, and study out. He said, these old Baptists are right. Predestination is right. Election is right. These are historic doctrines. He fell in love with the Church of Jesus Christ. He fell in love with it. He got to be a great spirit-filled deacon. Well, the point I'm making is this. When Tony would read his Bible, God would show him stuff. He'd call them golden nuggets. He says, Zach, I got a golden nugget to share with you. My friend, the Bible is filled with golden nuggets. If you're reading, look for them, okay? Now, I love you very much. I wish I could preach better than I do, but I hope you got the message. Listen, we need to make fellowship with God a number one priority, and we do it mainly through His Word, but if we do that, we have to depend on the Holy Ghost. That will change our life. Come on, Andrew, or whoever's going to do it.